Start a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And tonight's lesson is lesson number 89. I've entitled it, He Gave Gifts Unto Men. Why don't we open our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 11, and we'll take a look at an interesting scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. We're talking about gifts. So this is going to be our first scripture that talks about gifts. Verse 29, Romans chapter 11. And it goes like this. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. What in the world does that mean? In meditating on this scripture, I've come across four different things that really spoke to my heart. Number one, there are some things called gifts and callings that God has given the body of Christ. Calling is more of a full-time ministerial type gift. Then there are the gifts of the Spirit, which are not full-time, and they're not given to full-time ministers exclusively. All right? These gifts and these callings are from who? What does this verse tell us? Who do they come from? God. Now that may seem kind of simplistic, but I have known people who have called themselves, and it's turned into a big mess. Okay? So the true gifts and the true callings come from God. And when He does do that, He never changes His mind. That's what it means they're without repentance. He doesn't just sometimes say, I wish I'd never done that. I repent of ever doing that. That's what this means. It means that God does not change His mind once He gives a gift or a calling. The gifts and callings are from God, not from man, not from ourselves. In other words, here's something, folks. You can never decide on your own, I want to be a pastor, teacher, apostle, and that's what I'm going to work toward my whole life. I'm going to study. I'm going to college. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a teacher. Whatever it might be that are full-time ministry gifts, you do not decide that on your own. You have to be called first if you're going to be successful. It is very dangerous to call yourself to a ministry. All right? People have gotten so messed up doing this, and messed up people, because they wanted to do this so bad, they just decided to do it. A true minister is called and equipped by God. Who God calls, God equips to do the job, okay? So I just want you to see, first of all, the gifts and the callings are from God, and He does not change His mind once He does it. He doesn't look at our lives and say, well, you know, they're not really moving into that teaching ministry I wanted. Maybe I'll call them to be a pastor instead. They seem to like that better. God does not change His mind. If He calls,
it says irrevocable.
They're irrevocable. That's another word for that. They're not changeable. God doesn't go back and change. They're irrevocable. That's a good word. Good. Thank you for sharing that. All right. That's the first scripture I wanted to see. Now, another thing I want you to see is over here in talking about gifts. It goes on in chapter 12. But go to verse 3 of chapter 12. It says, to every man that is among you, don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we're talking about the measure of faith to operate the gifts, because it goes on talking about this faith right below this. But God gives this. You know, so many times it's so tempting, especially for novice new Christians, to the God that calls them to do something or equips them with a gift, they get kind of puffed up for a while and they think, wow, this is something I've got. No, it's important to see that every man not to think of himself more highly than he thought, but to think soberly according is it's God that gave the gift. In other words, you can't really get puffed up if someone gives you $50. Man, I went out and I earned this money. No, it was a gift. You've got it. It's yours, but it's a gift. You didn't earn it. And that's the way with these gifts and callings. God gives these things. So He's saying people don't get puffed up about it. And He says, every man, His God has dealt to every man the measure of faith in some gifted area. Now, it may not be a ministry gift. It may not be a full-time ministry gift. But everybody has something that God's called them to do, okay? And he's equipped them to do it. All right, that's all I want to cover in this little part. We'll come back to this because it talks about these. There's some gifts in here. Well, let's just go over them while we're here because we don't have that much time tonight. All right, let's go on to verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having gifts differing. See, we're all members of the body of Christ, and we don't all have the same gifts. We have gifts differing according to the grace given unto us, whether prophecy, if it's prophecy, if that's your gift, then prophesy according to the proportion of faith that God gives you in that area. If it's ministry, some other kind of ministry, then do that according to the faith he gives you for that ministry. If it's teaching, then teach according to the faith he gives you for that ministry. If it's exhortation, on exhortation. If it's giving, if that's your gift, then do that with faith. Do it with simplicity, it says here. Or another version says, without fanfare. All right? He that ruleth, do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, there's a whole bunch of gifts in here, and we're going to talk about these in more detail later, okay? But for now, I just want you to see what some of these are. These are gifts that any one of us might have. Might be prophecy, some of the gifts of the Spirit, might be just some other type of ministry, might be teaching, exhortation. What is exhortation, anyone? Anybody know? Encouragement, lifting up, building up. Those are all good definitions. One translation I looked at says, a call closer to God. A person who calls one closer to God, who encourages a person to draw closer to God. In other words, you know, to come to God, trust in God. Come on, you know, give your life over into God a little bit more. You know, get God working in your life. That's exhortation, encouragement, all those things Marianne said. Giving. Well, we're all supposed to give, aren't we? Yes. We're all supposed to be tithers if we're believers. But there's some people who have a special ministry of giving. It's as easy for them to give away a car as it is for a dollar. And they do it without a lot of fanfare. They don't have to write a check and make it 50 times bigger and show it in the paper, hand it to somebody. They just do it under the table, so to speak. Yes, Steve?
We have more than one of these gifts of ministry.
Yeah, you can have more than one. That's right. That's exactly right. We're going to get into this in a lot more detail. Tonight I'm just hitting some high spots, just to kind of give a broad picture of the gifts, okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to take these and take a lot of time with these things, okay? Tonight I just want to sort of introduce them, all right? All right, so there's some gifts. Now let's turn to, I'll just quote John 14:12. Does anybody know what that says? It says this. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now, when his disciples heard that, they must have just gone crazy because they thought, man, we have seen Jesus raise the dead. We've seen Jesus do all these different things. He said, we're going to do these works too. How in the world are us fishermen ever going to do that? What they didn't know was, number one, they were going to have the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. And number two, they did not know that there were going to be gifts given to do these works. Okay, they did not know that. So Jesus told them this, but he didn't tell them how it was going to happen. All right, now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You can look up some of these scriptures like John 14:12 on your own if you want to. I don't have time tonight to get into that to the degree I'd like to. But just know this, you've all heard that scripture, that he said, the works that I do shall ye do also. And the way you're going to do them is by the Holy Spirit and by the gifts. Verse 7, chapter 4 of Ephesians. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Gave gifts unto men. All right, what are some of these gifts? We'll go down to verse 11. And he gave some, what? Apostles. And he gave some, what? Prophets. And he gave some others, what? Evangelists. And he gave some others, what? Pastors. And he gave some others, what? Teachers. Those are what's called, what? The fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are some of the gifts. We're just hitting the high spot. We're covering, I'm leading you to the three main places in the New Testament that talks about the gifts. And they are, we've already been there, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? We're in Ephesians chapter 4 now, and we find out what the fivefold ministry gifts are. Apostle. What is an apostle? Who gave them, first of all? Who gave these gifts? Well, specifically, Jesus. It says here in verse 8. When Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Why is it Jesus? Who is the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church, isn't he? We're his body. He's the head. Jesus is the head of the church. So it makes sense, perfect sense, that Jesus would give these gifts. He delegates these gifts. All right. What is an apostle? First, he gives apostle. Apostle is a sent one. That's what the Greek word for apostle is angelos, which means messenger, sent one. He starts churches, or she starts churches, often where they haven't been before. Some missionaries are apostles. Okay? We're just going to hit the high spots. A prophet. What's a prophet? A prophet has visions and speaks by divine revelation. He has revelations, very deep revelations from God. And here's something unique about a prophet. It's not the same as the simple gift of prophecy, which we'll cover later. Now, the prophet may exercise the gift of prophecy, but the simple gift of prophecy isn't... A person that exercises that simple gift of prophecy is not a prophet. The difference is, a prophet can foretell things. The simple gift of prophecy never foretells anything, but it speaks words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the gift of prophecy, which we'll cover under the gifts of the Spirit in the second part of this lesson. But the prophet is much deeper than that. That's a full-time ministry position, okay, where the gift of prophecy isn't. You know, a person might be standing in church and the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit would speak through them in prophecy. Now, we've had a prophecy a couple times in our Bible study here, okay? That was not a prophet speaking. That was just a simple gift of prophecy. And the simple gift of prophecy will always edify, build up, exhort, encourage, or comfort. That's all it does. My little children, I love you very much. I see what you're doing. I, you know, approve of your Bible study. I love you, you know, encourage, maybe some personal encouragement somewhere, but it never foretells, never says this is going to happen in the future or something like that. That's only in the ministry of the prophet. We'll talk about these in more depth. Then there's the evangelist. Now, the evangelist is a unique individual. He sees a salvation need everywhere. Everywhere he looks, he sees a need for salvation. When he reads in the scriptures, he can take something out of, you'd never see a salvation scripture in a verse, and he'd find out that, and he'd preach a whole message on salvation from something you never even thought. You know, I've heard evangelists take obscure texts that you never thought there was a salvation message in there and bring salvation out of it, and they do a good job of it. They see salvation everywhere. A person who's an evangelist has one burning need, and sometimes they're downright impatient with the rest of the people that want to teach and get on with that. They think everything else is a waste of time a lot of times. And that doesn't mean it is. It just means it's so burning in their heart to get the evangelistic message out that they can't see anything else almost. Now, that's why the body of Christ needs to work together and understand that we have different gifts. Because if we don't, we're going to think, my gift is the only one that's important because it's burning in your heart. But that's burning in your heart, and that's what you're supposed to do. But don't think less of someone else who has a different gift. Yes, honey?
I would think, I don't mean to contradict it, but if you're an evangelist, you're getting them saved.
Right.
That's the critical most important thing.
Right.
Whatever happens, they make it to heaven and not hell.
Right.
So I can see why an evangelist might feel.
Right. And that's exactly the way to look at it. They want to keep the main thing all the time. Let's make the main thing, all the time. That's all they want to think about. But there are more things than that. Now, in other words, an evangelist and a pastor's job isn't doing much good because he gets his people saved every week. You know, they hear the same old salvation message week after week after week, and they might get one or two saved once in a while, but the rest of them are going, isn't there anything else we can learn? And sometimes they start going to other churches because this guy's got one message. He really ought to be out on the evangelistic trail, instead of a pastor maybe. But a pastor needs to preach evangelistic messages once in a while, but not exclusively, or his people will never grow. They'll stay babies if that's all he preaches, one subject. Now the teacher, you know, now the evangelist gets his modus operandi, and I'll just quote it because we're trying to save some time tonight, from Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And he sees it black and white. He's getting people rescued, just like Mary Ann said, and that's true. But that's all he cares about. Whereas God has a care for his people both before they get saved, people, and after they get saved. He wants them to get saved, and then he wants someone else to bring them along. And that's where the teacher's job comes in, discipling. If you'll notice, the other great, they call part of the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, says it a little differently. Where in Mark, it says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. That's an evangelist's marching orders. Whereas if you go into Matthew 28, and read what it says in the Great Commission there, it says, go into all nations, teach, it says, go in and make disciples of all nations. Now, and it's talking about, first you got to get them saved, but it's talking about teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, it's more of a teaching commission. I want you to make disciples, teaching them to observe, to do what I have commanded you. And how to do it. That's where the teacher comes in. Not just do this, do that, but here's how you do it. You know, he sees a great discipling need, where the evangelist sees a great salvation need. I know from my own experience, the teacher sees the Bible as the answer to everything. I mean, you had a problem? Open the Bible. Let me show you where it is. They want to teach. I mean, it's there, this is what it says, that's the way it works, and it works no other way, and that's just the way it is. And you can become, you know, if you're not careful, people that aren't teachers will, you know, you just got to kind of realize that everybody hasn't got that same oomph all the time for it, maybe like you do. But God gives that teacher that oomph so he can get across the points that he wants to make to his body. And then there's the pastor, the last one. He's a shepherd. That's what the word pastor means in Greek, shepherd. His concern is first and foremost for the care of the local flock in his charge. If he's truly called to be a pastor, he will have a pastor's heart. He may not be the greatest preacher. He may not be the greatest teacher, although sometimes the teaching gift does go with the pastor. He might have two gifts. He might have a minister gift as a pastor and a teacher. That's a good combination. Because not only can be a warm, loving shepherd to the flock, but he can also teach them what they need to know. Now, if he's not, doesn't have the teaching gift, then he may have to have someone else in the body, that's the local body. Maybe there's a teacher involved or something like that that can teach maybe a little better. But the main thing about the pastor, and if some person is truly called to be a pastor, he will have a loving pastor's heart for the flock. If you find a pastor who's, I'm not trying to judge any pastor, but who's short with the flock, he doesn't seem to have much time for him, he's rolling his eyes at what they do. That I don't wonder if that man's called to be a pastor, because a pastor, first of all, has a shepherd's heart. That's what it means, shepherd. Just like a shepherd of the sheep, you know. He would give his life for the sheep. And a good pastor would almost give his life for the ones in his care. He really cares. Okay. Now, there are supportive gifts. We've talked about a few of those earlier. Look here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll see a few of these supportive gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, first of all. It says, now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. It says, verse 11, all the gifts are worked by the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I want you to see that every man is in here. Everybody has a gift of some kind. All right, now down to verse 28. And God has set some in the church. Here's apostles again. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Then he says after that, he brings in some of the gifts of the Spirit here too. Miracles, gifts of healings, helps. There's that little word buried in there, helps. There is a ministry of helps where they are ministry that help support maybe the fivefold ministry gifts. Okay? Music is one, for example. People that have a gift in the area of music, that's a very valuable gift. But it's not under apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. It's a separate ministry of helps called, and it could be music, it could be other things as well. Governments, there's a new one. Governments simply means an ability to lead or to organize. We all need that. You know, any church needs some people that have that ability. All right? Diversities of tongues. And then he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No, they're not. Not everybody has this gift. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Now, no, they don't all speak with tongues in the ministry sense. But yes, all believers who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit can expect to speak in tongues in the devotional sense. So that little tiny phrase right here has confused a lot of people. So see, it says, do all speak with tongues? No, God doesn't want everybody to speak with tongues. That's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about in ministry. You see that? We're talking about ministry gifts here. This will all become clear as we get into these things in more detail. Okay, now let's talk about, we've talked about some ministry gifts. Let's talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because this is what we're going to spend most of our time on in the coming weeks, okay? All right, now let's look at those, and that's what we'll end up with tonight. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's an interesting quote. There is a lot of ignorance about spiritual gifts, but, you know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Now, do you know, realize that God gave all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all of most of Ephesians chapter 4, most of Romans 12, all talking about gifts. That's a lot of real estate in the Bible given to gifts. And we don't really hear about them all that much. And so I believe it would please the Lord if we would just get into these things a little bit, because he doesn't want us, as he said here, ignorant. If he didn't want the Corinthians ignorant and they were in the church, he doesn't want his body today ignorant. Now, let's jump down to verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. First of all, there are differences of gifts, but it's the same Spirit that manifests these gifts. You're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. There are differences of administrations. The Greek word there means ministries. In other words, what you can read here is there are different kinds of gifts of the Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and we've talked about some of those, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And there are diversities of operations, which means workings, ways of ministering the gifts. For example, in the gift of working of miracles, there are several kinds of miracles that could be worked. So that would be differences of operations. See, you can have a miracle of walking on the water. Jesus did that. Changing water to wine. He did that. Those were all miracles. When he spoke to the wind and stopped that was another miracle. When Peter walked on the water, that was another miracle. All those were miracles, but they were all different operations, different types of miracles, but all worked with the same Lord. All right, now let's look at the gifts of the Spirit, because there's so much confusion about this, and there's 9 of them, okay? Verse 7. Now all these are manifestations, the gifts, the ministries or administrations, and the operations are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they are given to every man to profit. In other words, they're always given to profit someone. It's never given to hurt someone. You see the word profit? When you profit, that's good, isn't it? When you make a profit in a business, is that good or bad? That's good. When you profit, that simply means something good happens. And when the manifestation of the Spirit happens, that's good. It always brings good. Now, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So we have nine gifts there. Now, there are three gifts that say something. Now, I've heard these called the vocal gifts, the gifts of inspiration. I've heard some people call these because they inspire when these gifts are in operation. I've heard them called the utterance gifts, but let's just call them the vocal gifts. All three of these gifts, of the nine gifts, say something. And they are the gift of prophecy, the gift of kinds of tongues, that's what it says here, diverse kinds of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. These are called the vocal gifts, and there's three of them, and they all have this one thing in common, they say something. Now, there are three revelation gifts. They reveal something. And they are, number one, the word of knowledge. Number two, the word of wisdom. Number three, the discerning of spirits. And then finally, there are three power gifts. They do something. There is the gift of faith. There's the gift of working of miracles. And there's the gift of healings. Those are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, subdivided into three separate groups. Now, just very quickly, every gift requires faith to operate the gift. But God will give you enough to get started on, but it requires faith to continue the gift, usually like in prophecy. Sometimes when you prophesy, God might give you three or four words. And then you step out in faith and speak what you know, and God then will keep filling in. For example, when you prophesy, most of the time, I know from my own limited experience, you don't know ahead of time what the whole thing is. You just know a few words to start with. And sometimes you're kind of going, well, you know, what happens if that's all I have, you know? But the Lord doesn't leave you flat, but they require faith. Now, the first and best vocal gift is the gift of prophecy. The Bible says to covet the best gifts, and it says covet to prophesy. Prophecy is the best gift of the vocal gifts because it's complete in itself. In other words, when someone prophesies, and it will always be, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, words of edification, exhortation, or comfort. If it doesn't comfort, if it doesn't build up, if it tears down, and doesn't encourage, but discourages, it's not the proper gift of prophecy. It says judge prophecy. People can get carried away and think that God's given them a word, but if it doesn't edify, exhort, or comfort, it's not prophecy. The simple gift of prophecy we're talking about now. Now, sometimes in the ministry of the prophet, which is different, when he speaks, he'll be a little bit more authority, and sometimes God does bring a correcting word. But that requires more of a person that really knows what God's doing than the simple gift of prophecy, which never does that. The simple gift of prophecy will never bring a discouraging word. Put it that way, you know. What was that old cowboy song? Just about a discouraging word or something. Home in the Range, wasn't it? Okay. Never a discouraging word. All right, so prophecy is complete in itself. A person will start to prophesy. They will prophesy in a language known to the group. And then when he's done, it will bring a message that everyone understands. Now, kinds of tongues is not complete in itself. And let me just say this on tongues. There are two types of tongues. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, primarily you receive a devotional gift to be used in your own prayer time. All right? This is not talking about the public utterance in tongues we're talking about here. That's not the gift of tongues for public use. This is a private devotional gift, and 99% of the time, that's the main gift that you use day in and day out whenever you want to, pray in the Spirit, and you know that, okay? Now, what I'm talking about here is not that. It's tongues, but it's for mostly public ministry to be interpreted. And when tongues go forth in a group, someone speaks in tongues in a public gathering where everybody can hear it, that tongue needs to be interpreted. Because the Bible is very clear on this. That if there's no interpreter, don't, you know, if it's not going to be interpreted, don't even say it. You know, if one comes out and there's no way interprets it, the person that has a gift of tongues should just be silent in the service after that, because there is no one there that's going to give the interpretation. So tongues, public tongues and interpretation go together, and the two together make prophecy, kind of. You understand what I'm saying? Because the same result will be there at the end. You'll have a message, you understand, from the Lord that can be acted upon, you can be encouraged by, but it comes in two parts. Instead of one part, somebody just prophesying, it comes in two parts. Somebody will speak in tongues, then another person over here somewhere will pop up and interpret that. All but the Holy Spirit, not on their own. This is only the Holy Spirit's unction. All right? This is the way God set this up. All right. And so it takes a little less faith to use these two gifts than it does the gift of prophecy, simply because all the person with the gift of tongues has to do when they stand up. And now we're talking about public right now, okay? We're talking about the part you don't use the most, all right? But since there's so much confusion, and that's the gift of tongues we're talking about, I want to make it clear what this is. It doesn't take as much faith to just speak out a message in tongues, because you don't have the burden of interpreting it. You don't have to say in English what it means. And then the person who interprets doesn't need as much faith as the one that prophesies, the gift of prophecy, because the ice has been broken, kind of. An interpretation is now expected. And so it doesn't take as much faith to stand up and start talking or writing, you know, here's a message. That takes a little more. Can you see that? I may not have explained it very well, but the one who stands up and speaks in tongues in a group doesn't have the burden of knowing what it means. The other person that interprets doesn't have the burden of knowing when to start talking in the service. Is it now? Is it later? Should I give this later? Should I, like a prophecy does? Okay? But the two together are the same as prophecy. The end result. Yes?
But have you ever seen that in a service?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you act like, oh, yeah, well, you know.
Well, all right. Well, if you go to churches where they allow you to do this and people are filled with the Spirit, okay? Mostly.
I understand, but I've never run across that. I can't find a church.
Well,
limiting to the area here, we've been to.
There are churches around that do, and full gospel churches they're called. It's kind of the, you know, like Assembly of God churches, and not all those. Foursquare, non-denominational. There's a lot of them. In the big cities, there's usually like Calvary Temple was one, but even there, I don't want to get into a lot of the nuances of all this thing. Sometimes a pastor will just kind of put a lid on it. Even though their denomination believes in it, he's afraid that somebody's going to say something out of order or something like that. And so he forbids kind of that to happen in his. And the Bible says, you know, forbid not to speak with tongues. But on the other hand, you want to keep order too. That's why Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these chapters in here. He says, let everything be done decently and in order. So there's a balancing thing here, you know. You don't want to be out of order and be completely cuckoo, caca over here, but you don't want to be so dead that you don't allow anything, things to happen either. Okay, but there are churches. Yes, I've heard of many churches that we've gone to.
When you get into a church where it really is really working and there's really an interpretation, you will really know it.
Your spirit will pick up on it.
And it was not, and everyone knew it wasn't right and done out of order. And I can't tell any more than that, and it's rare. Rare around here. We have been to big churches where...
Well, there was, you know, when we were going to church in Warsaw, there were a fair number of messages, tongues interpretation and prophecy. And in fact, one of the guys that used to always give the tongues, he had the gift of... he'd stand up and give out, and then there was this other woman that would interpret. He's the guy, if you pick up your phone and you dial a wrong number, he's the guy that you hear on your phone telling you that you need to dial a one before... And he has that gift. Next time you pick up your phone, it says you must dial a one before you. That's him. I just say, you know, local guy there. He has that gift. And Shirley used to mostly interpret. She had the gift of interpretation, and sometimes the pastor would interpret. It just depends. Whoever the Lord gives the message to.
At our church, they have to interpret. The pastor will get him to speak, and either he will interpret it or.
Okay.
Someone else will interpret. I mean, you know if it's from God.
You do know, because
right.
There's a rhythm in the tongues, and then there's a rhythm in the interpretations, and you know it fits, and you know in your spirit. You can't say in your head. there are times when you can say in your head,
oh. And it is an interpretation. It's not a translation. It's not a word-for-word translation. It's an interpretation of what it meant, which is different. So, because some people get all hung up and say, well, this guy took, in his message over here, he took a minute and a half, and this person took 45 seconds is all to do that. Now, how can they be right? Well, it's not a translation, okay? It's just the meaning. Okay, there's a difference there. That's why it calls interpretation. To interpret something, you just need to know what it means. You don't need to have a translation. But it's a valid gift, and God wants to use these gifts. Now, there's some clues in here why these gifts aren't being used more. It says you must covet, desire the best gifts, covet to prophesy, desire the gifts. You know, and first of all, you have to be taught about it. If no one's ever taught about it, nobody's going to jump up in church and do this, okay? Until the pastor teaches his flock about these things, they won't happen because it would be out of order. People wouldn't know. That's why we're doing it here, because what we want to do then, after we talk about it here maybe, is pray that the Lord would manifest these gifts in here if he wants to. Because these are Bible things God would like to do among his people sometimes. Not all the time. And you got to walk a fine line here, because God is always perfect. But the vessels he uses, the conduits he uses, aren't perfect. We're not perfect. Our minds could get involved sometimes. But that's okay. Well, we're learning these things. Sometimes there's mistakes made. Sometimes it isn't quite what God wanted to get across to the group, or maybe none of it's what God wanted to get across to the group. But everybody's learning, and as long as everybody's heart's right. Now, once in a while you get somebody whose heart isn't really right. They just want to be a big show, and they just want to do something, okay? And even sometimes the wrong spirit gets involved with people, and he tries to disrupt services with counterfeits of these things. I don't want to confuse you right now, but these are valid things that when done in the proper attitude, with the proper motives, can make a beautiful believers get together where the Lord can speak to the group, and he doesn't do it just through one. I mean, that's what makes the body of Christ so interesting. I mean, people you would not expect sometimes are the ones God gives some of the gifts to. And that's what I think makes it kind of really neat sometimes. Like some of the people I've seen in these churches, you might see a woman that, or a man that you would look at and think, how could God use that person? I mean, now you wouldn't want to think it that way, but you just might even wonder how in the world, and then they come out with this beautiful prophecy that's beyond anything that they normally talk about, that just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and you just have to smile to yourself and say, forgive me, Lord, for selling you short. Yes.
I don't think I would even believe as much as I do if it hadn't really happened to me. I know I've all told you all that, but when I went to that conference in England, I went only as a helper of a pastor's wife who was going to sing. I was a nobody. I was a non-entity, and I had never been used in any kind of way like that before. And there were ministers and pastors there from around the world, ones pretty well known that had written books and been up there, whatever. And we were all gathered together, and all of a sudden I just raised up and started, and there was no way I could be there. Raised up and started. And I had no intention of it or anything else. It just came up like you see mud or something with bubbles coming up out. It was absolutely had to come out. And it was amazing. And as I heard myself say it, I knew it wasn't me. And I wished more than anything it could have been taped or something. But it was long and ministered to all the pastors and their wives there. And I just kind of folded in like, oh, when I was done, I was exhausted. I mean, and it's, I've never done it quite that way that much before. It was the first time. But it was so real, I couldn't not do it. Amazing. And I was nobody. I just was used by God to talk to
them. Yeah, pastors very emotionally
crying.
Moved by that crying.
They were men crying. And I don't mean they were crying for unhappiness. They were just so... I can't even begin to tell you what I said.
Well, these are things the Lord wants to do more in his groups, you know. He wants people to learn about these things so that we can get some confidence in these things. And you know, we're not going to have faith if we don't hear it. It's in the Bible, you know. So we talked about the vocal gifts. Now the revelation gifts, they reveal something. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. The word of knowledge, very quickly, is just a revelation of certain facts in the mind of God about the past or present. Right now, he might say to a person ministering who has a gift of knowledge, the Lord, I'm going to heal you right now. Or the Lord's telling me that you have an infection in your foot, and it hasn't healed and it's been slow healing and God's going to heal that right now or something like that. You know, that's a word of knowledge. It's something about the past or the present about a person. Okay, it's a fact in the mind of God, supernaturally revealed through people. Okay, now the word of wisdom is a little different. It's the same supernatural, but it's a revelation of the plans and purposes in the mind of God regarding future events, something he wants to do in the future, not right now. That's called the word of wisdom. Now, we're going to cover these in more detail, but the discerning of spirits is seeing and hearing into the realm of the spirit, and there's a lot of confusion about this one. A lot of people shorten this down to the gift of discernment because they don't know what the Bible's talking about, and there's no such thing as the gift of discernment. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. It's seeing and hearing into the spirit realm. You know, how do you think Jesus knew how what to cast out of certain people and was talking to it and all that? He was seeing in the spirit realm. The Holy Ghost in Jesus gave him the ability, even though Jesus had that ability before he came here, he gave away all his power when he came here, and he ministered, showing us how to minister. Later, after he went to heaven, he was showing us how we could minister. And people who have the gift of discerning spirits see into the spirit realm. They can see the demon a lot of times. They can hear the demon talking, and they talk back to it, tell it to go out. They know what's wrong with the person. Maybe they're praying in a healing line. Now, everybody that you're prayed with for healing, not everybody, in fact, maybe a very small percentage, actually have a demonic situation that's causing their sickness. But the Holy Spirit, when you come across those kind, can show you what the problem is so you know how to pray, whether to cast the spirit out or just to pray for their healing. That's the discerning of spirits. It's not, you know, like some people think, attitude discernment. I discern your spirit. You're mad at me. You know, spirit in the sense of attitude or gung-ho-ness. You know, when you go to a basketball game, they say, you know, let's have a, really had some spirit tonight, you know. Well, they just mean you were all excited about something. That's not what we're talking about here. I heard someone talk about the woman who had the spirit of infirmity. And he was a person in the ministry, and he said the spirit of infirmity was just, she was discouraged. She just had this discouraged outlook on life. Spirit of infirmity, just kind of an attitude, you know. But it said, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years. It was that kind of spirit. You know, not an attitude. So we're not talking here about discerning of spirits. Honey, I discern your spirit. You're just a little feisty today. You're a little testy with me. God just gave me the gift of discerning of that spirit. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ability to see and hear in the spirit realm, which is a very real realm. And sometimes God wants you to see. You know, whenever you see an angel or if you have a vision, there's a certain element of discerning of spirits there as well. You know, when Jesus appears to you, he's not appearing to you in the flesh anymore. That's the spirit of Jesus is here, you know. He's in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. Go ahead.
So, I mean, is this like a gift all the time? Like someone can always...
No. Glad you brought that up. You cannot bring this up when you want to. It's as the Spirit wills, as he sees a need. You don't wander around with this gift operating in your life all the time at all. In fact, it may be quite seldom. But if you have this gift, when it needs to be used, God can use you to use this gift. And it'll usually be when you're ministering to somebody. It won't be just when you're mowing the lawn or something like that, unless God really needs to show you something right then. He could. But no, it's not something that you can generate on your own. When you got this gift, you can't just go. But that's a good point, because some ministers fall off into this other area where they'll be, maybe they travel around, and they have some valid gifts, so the Lord uses them. But they're going from church to church, and they feel they've got to perform when they get there. And if the gift isn't operating, well, they'll just kickstart it themselves, sort of. And it just falls flat on its face. And that's where some of these ministries get such a bad name, because people try to operate the gift when the Spirit isn't involved. And it just comes out, stinks, really. I mean, you know, they try to operate and the Lord told me to tell you, and everybody's just going, oh, man, just let me out of here. Your whole spirit's grieved, you know. You just know this is not God. And this guy's plowing ahead anyway, you know.
So really, if someone who has the skips walking through the mall, they're going to just see.
No. See, that's the key. And they're not going to show them something about you unless it's going to help you, to minister to you. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to say, there goes a guy that's really in sin. You know, if, you know, unless the guy's going to be ministered to, it's no good to show you this stuff. These are just everyday people that have these gifts that God uses once in a while in this way. Okay? That's all. All right, then the power gifts. They do something. Faith, the gift of faith. This isn't the same faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is a special faith. When you get to the end of your faith, see. Now, God revealed this to me the other day. This was interesting. I was meditating on this gift of faith, thinking about how faith comes, hearing by the Word of God, and how this is a special faith. Why would we need special faith when all of a sudden we have faith that comes through hearing the Word of God? And I believe the Lord spoke to my spirit and says, what if it's not in the Word of God? And I want you to do something. You still need the faith. That showed me two things. It showed me, number one, there are cases when you need to use a degree of faith that you have no way of extracting from the Word of God, because that isn't a promise in the Scripture, but God nevertheless wants to do it. And number two, it showed me this. God requires faith, even if he has to give it. Well, that's a sobering thought. You know, God is a God of faith. He's a faith God. Okay? And that's what moves God. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. According to thy faith be it unto thee. See, all these things God wanted to do, but he couldn't do it without faith on their part. And so sometimes there's a case when there is no scripture that covers a situation. Sometimes there's a case when faith is required and God just gives it. Yes.
So faith is like the currency of the spirit world.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. That's the thing that needs to move things in the spirit world. It's a powerful force.
How we obtain.
Right. For example, raising somebody from the dead. There is no promise from God that says, you know, like, God took your infirmities and bore your sickness. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. It doesn't say by Jesus' stripes you should be raised from the dead. See, there's no promise that God is going to raise the dead every time. So what if God does want to raise the dead and faith is required? There is no faith provider in the Word of God for that. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what God does in those situations is he gives the gift of faith. But you get to the, but a lot of times you have to get to the end of your faith before it comes. You have to exercise all the faith you've got in doing something, and all of a sudden you just comes and you're a tiger for God all of a sudden. You don't even know why. You just know it's going to happen. That's the gift of faith. Now, I've very seldom experienced that, if ever, but it is a valid gift of God. And we'll cover some examples of that in the Bible. And then finally, there's working of miracles. The gift of faith and working of miracles go together, because working of miracles is not a promise in the Word of God like healing is, okay? That God will cause you to walk on water, or God will change water into wine. He may do that occasionally. But if you're going to do that, you're going to need some superhuman faith to do that, okay? And so faith and working of miracles are kind of go together. Okay, the faith is given to work a miracle. And then there's the gifts of healings, which is a physical healing of the body initiated at God's behest, as the Spirit wills. See, there were cases in the Bible that you can divide them neatly into cases when people came to God and cases when God went to people for healing. Whenever they came to God, faith was required. And he would try to steer their conversation, do something. But when he went to the man at the pool of Bethesda, there was no faith required for that guy. He just said, you're healed. He says, I can't get in the water. He never had one iota of faith, that guy. And Jesus stepped over. I heard a guy preaching on this one time, and he says, it was like this. He says, Jesus, the pool of Bethesda was filled with sick people. Jesus going, excuse me, to get to the one he healed. Be healed, and then walk, excuse me, and went back out of there. Heal one person at God's behest. That's the gifts of healings. Doesn't take any particular faith on the person's part. Just God decides to supernaturally do something, and that is one method of being healed. I don't recommend waiting around for it, because it's manifested as the Spirit wills. That does not mean that God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't want you always healed. It just means he doesn't want you always healed by this method. He wants you to use your faith sometimes. But when he does use this method, it's at his behest, and he goes to the people. And it's usually used for unbelievers as a sign. It's used a lot in the foreign countries where evangelists go there and preach the gospel, like Philip did, and many are starting to get healed. That's the gifts of healing and operation. They don't have any faith. They've never heard anything about the Word of God. They don't know anything. God just starts healing them in mass, and they start coming to the Lord like crazy. It's a sign. Very seldom will a believer get healed by the gifts of healing. Because why? God's already said, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. I took your infirmities. I bore your sickness.
Yeah.
You act on that. See, but there are these gifts. And that completes, I think, tonight what I wanted to say. I just want to introduce the gifts tonight and do the homework, and the next week we'll get into a little more detail. Okay?
Okay. That completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay. Tonight we're going to start off by going over the homework for last week. It's lesson 89, and it was entitled, He Gave Gifts Unto Men. That was our lesson last week. Okay, here we go. True or false? The church is Christ's body on the earth. Is that true or false? That's true. That's who the body of Christ is. That's what the church really is. Like tonight, we're the body of Christ, right? If we're born again, we're gathered together. So this is the church. The church is gathered here together tonight. So a church isn't just a building, is it? It's a gathering of believers. It's what the Bible calls the church. Okay, true or false? The pastor's job is to place ministry gifts in the church as he sees fit.
False.
Not the pastor's job to place ministry gifts in the church. He may use the ministry gifts, but we found out last week that who places the gifts in the church?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit activates those gifts in the church. And Jesus, when he came back from hell, says he led captivity captive, Ephesians tells us chapter 4, and he gave gifts unto men. And then it goes and lists what the gifts are. So Jesus is the head of the church, is the one who gives the gift. The Holy Spirit's the one that empowers the gift to be used. Okay. True or false? No, God sets the ministry gifts in the church as it pleases his body, the church. True or false?
False.
What do you say, Marianne?
I have a lesson to it, so yeah, I say false too.
Okay.
False.
Why is it false?
Well, I'm just trying to read my paper.
Okay. Anybody? Who sets the ministry gifts in the church? We just talked about that. Right. It's not as it pleases us. We can't sit back and say, hello, I'm over here. I want to be a pastor, and I want to be a teacher, and I want to have the gift of prophecy. Those ministry gifts are set by Jesus in the church. And we found out that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, without repentance. That means he calls the gifts, see, and callings of who? God, yeah, Christ, are without repentance. They're callings from God. You can't, in other words, a pastor should ever just decide he wants to be a pastor on his own or a teacher or somebody like that. I mean, just because your parents say, you know, you'd make a good pastor. You just seem, you know, we'd love you to be a pastor, son. That's not the calling we're talking about here at all. It's got to be a calling from God. And that's why a lot of ministry gifts don't work out very well, is because people call themselves, put themselves in the offices, and that never works. In fact, you can get really messed up doing that. Yes.
So if we go to seminary, that doesn't really qualify us to be a pastor.
No, it's not bad to go to seminary if you're called to something. If you're called to be a pastor, get the education, that's fine. But if you're not called, you know, there's no really sense going and majoring in pastoral thing and then going to be a pastor if you're not called. And there's a lot of people that have made that mistake. And there's a lot of churches that have failed because the pastor was never called. Or a teacher was never called. He just decided he wanted to be a teacher. Or the evangelist wasn't called. Now, we're all evangelists to some degree, you understand. We're all supposed to share the good news. But these ministry gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, are full-time occupations. And they're called by God, not by man. Okay. I think we don't know that. The fivefold ministry gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and Sunday school teacher.
Well, that's not quite all true. Yeah, Sunday school teacher and Sunday school partisan.
Yeah, I mean, we do have Sunday school teachers, and most of the time they're not called by God within the fivefold ministry, at least, type of calling, where they're full-time in it. They may be doing a good job. I'm not saying they're not, but that's not the teacher that we're talking about here. That might be just somebody with a natural ability for teaching or something that has a fair knowledge of the Bible. They might teach Sunday school, but that is not the calling of the teacher that the Bible talks about here. Okay. Jesus said the works that he did, his body, the church, which is us, would do also. True or false?
True.
He said that. I mean, it surprises some people, but he said, the works that I do, shall ye do also, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you do it. When we respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting, to exercise a gift or perform a work, he will back us up by providing the power to work the gift or do the work. That's kind of a long sentence. But that's true. If you respond to the Holy Spirit and not your own spirit, just when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you can be sure that's from God and that he will back you up in doing whatever he is says to do. If he tells you to stand up and prophesy and he only gives you four words, if you know for sure that's God, stand up and he'll add to it as you obey that. A lot of times you don't have the whole message all at once. You just have a little piece of it, and then you get up in faith and he gives you the rest. Okay. The body of Christ and the Holy Spirit working together carry out the will of God on the earth. True or false? It's not tricky. That's true. See, that's the way it's done now. When Jesus was on the earth, he showed us how to do these things. He's the head of the church. Then he went to heaven and he said, I'm the head of the church, you're my body. Who's going to do the works? The head, who does the work? You're on your own body. Does your head do the work or does your body do the work? The head decides what needs to be done, but then the body actually does the work. And that's why Jesus gave us his analogy. He's the head and he's in heaven. He decides what to do and he gave the gifts. And then he gave each one of us as the Holy Spirit to carry out his will here on the earth. It just works great if we do it his way. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, 3 vocal gifts, 3 revelation gifts, and 3 power gifts. True or false?
True.
There's 3 of each. And we talked about that last week. All right. The 3 vocal gifts are tenor, baritone, and bass.
I don't think so.
True. Mr. Plotner over there. Huh?
If that's true, we have none.
That's true. You and I are dead in the water on that one. What are the 3 vocal gifts? Anybody? Remember any of them? Prophecy's one. What's another one? Did I hear somebody saying?
Kinds of tongues.
Tongues, right. And what's the third one?
Interpretation
of tongues. Those are the 3 gifts that say something, or the 3 vocal gifts. All right, good. While we're at it, let's talk about what they all are. What's the 3 power gifts? Do you remember? Faith was the first one. Then working of miracles and gifts of healing. Right. Good job. Good. That's the 3 power gifts. Now we got 3 left. What are they? The 3
revelation
gifts. What's one of the revelation gifts?
Word of knowledge.
That's one. Good.
Word of wisdom.
And what's the third one?
Discerning of spirits.
Very good. Those are the 9 gifts. Now, we discussed last week, discerning of spirits is not just, well, I'm probably going to give away something here, but, well, it's not just discerning in attitude. We're not talking about that kind of spirit. You know, sometimes people talk about spirit, they mean, he has a good spirit, or, boy, he showed a lot of spirit tonight. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking actual discerning of spirits. That's being able to see or hear into the spirit realm. And everybody goes, whoa, look at your Bible. That happened a lot of times. People saw angels. People have seen Jesus. People have had visions of the Lord. These are all the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Sometimes the Lord will give the discerning of spirits to someone who has to minister to someone who's got a demon or something. Now, this is not something that happens every day, but occasionally this happens, and he'll maybe show you. Like Jesus, when he was showing us how to ministry, he would come up to someone sometimes and he would speak to the demon. He'd find out, you know, what kind it was, and he'd cast it out, you know. That was seeing the spirit realm. That was an exercise of the gift of discerning of spirits. All right? I mean, that isn't an everyday thing that happens, but if need be, the Lord can give these gifts to profit someone. It says these gifts are given to us to profit. If someone is bound up and needs help, these gifts can help untangle that. And so that's why they're given to us. Okay. There is a ministry given by God to individuals he selects called the ministry of helps. True or false?
True.
We found out last week that in this list of ministry gifts, there's one called the ministry of helps. It's a gift given to people to assist those in the full-time ministry primarily. They're supportive gifts. All right. And that's a fairly common. Music would be an example. People who are really called to the music that to minister in church or in song that can cause give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to manifest himself. I mean, the Lord will manifest himself in times of worship. We'll learn that tonight, things like that. So music would be one example of that. But really anything that helps the ministry. The ministry of helps is any ministry that helps make the world a better place. Well, that might help the world, but that's not what we're talking about here, right? It's not the ministry of helps. Huh?
Too general.
Too general, right. False. The gift of discerning of spirits allows one to discern whether someone's motives are honest. False. That's not the primary purpose of that gift. You know, sometimes these things have gotten mixed up. And people have said, well, so-and-so has the gift of discernment because they know when anybody is in the wrong or something like that. I can discern when somebody's in error or something. That's not what we're talking about here. There's no such gift as a gift of discernment. The gift of prophecy will edify, which means build up, exhort, encourage, or comfort those who hear. True or false?
True.
We found out that. That's what the purpose of the gift of prophecy is. That's not the same as a prophet, but it is the gift of prophecy. There are two general types of tongues, a quiet praying in tongues we may call devotional tongues, and the public tongues uttered aloud in assembly that is to be interpreted. True or false?
True.
There are two different types. 95% or 99% is the devotional. The public tongues is not an everyday occurrence, okay? But it can happen and does happen. Once we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, devotional tongues may be prayed anytime the believer desires. True or false?
True.
You know, once you receive that, and you really should, because the Bible gives us about 8 or 9 different reasons to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues is the same thing. And when we get to it, we'll talk about those. Some very good benefits, and it really does work. It's not theoretical. It's not just what the Bible says, and I've tested it in my own life, and it really, really works the way it says. But tongues uttered aloud in a public gathering should be uttered only at the Holy Spirit's prompting and then interpreted so it can be understood by those present. True or false?
True.
Tongues uttered aloud in a public group should always be interpreted. Otherwise, it doesn't do any good. The Bible tells us that unless it's interpreted, you're better to speak 5 words in a known tongue, like prophecy, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that's not interpreted, because it doesn't do anybody any good. Unless it's interpreted. Okay? Now, tongues plus interpretation really is equal to the gift of, it's the same thing as the gift of prophecy. Both together have the same effect as the gift of prophecy, right? When tongues are interpreted, a second gift, the interpretation of tongues, is in manifestation. True or false?
True.
That's what interpretation of tongues is. The gift of knowledge is for understanding the correct meaning of the teaching of the Bible. True or false? False. That's not the gift of knowledge. We talked about it last week. The gift of knowledge is there's no such thing, first of all, as the gift of knowledge. There's the gift of the word of knowledge. And it's a word the Holy Spirit gives on occasion of revelation of certain facts in the mind of God about the past or the present. And when we get to that, we'll talk about it in detail. So there is no gift of knowledge, just the gift of the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is revelation of the plans and purposes in the mind of God regarding future events. True or false? Well, on the other side of the page it says, the word of wisdom is the revelation of plans and purposes in the mind of God regarding future events. So that shouldn't have been too hard.
True.
Must have been true. The gift of special faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. True or false?
False.
That's right. Now, faith, ordinary faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when the word is preached correctly, that will bring faith into the hearts of the believers that are there to hear it, or whoever hears it. I mean, at least the seed will go forth, okay? Now, the gift of special faith is different. It's not the same as the faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gift of special faith is given at special times, primarily for the working of miracles, things that are beyond the faith that you can get from the word. For example, we can always pray in faith for things that are promised in his word, because faith comes by hearing what that word has to say about that topic and then acting upon it. But what about stuff that isn't promised in the Bible? What about raising somebody from the dead? There's no promise in the Bible that says every time you pray, somebody's going to be raised. That's going to take a special amount of faith. But if God needs to do something like that, then he can give that special faith at those times for the working of miracles. All right, the working of miracles is a divine intervention by God overruling the normal course of nature. True or false?
True.
That's true. That's what means a miracle is. It's something that's not normal. Give me an example of a miracle in the Bible. Anybody?
At the pool of Bethesda, where the...
Well, I don't know if that was a gifts of healings, maybe. Okay, he was healed. That might have been the Lord of line of healings, but there's plenty around. How about...
The feeding of the 5,000.
There you go. That was a miracle. He created food out of nothing. The parting of the Red Sea was a miracle. How about Peter walking on the water? That suspended the normal course of nature. That was a miracle. How about Jesus changing water into wine? That was a miracle. That wasn't a healing or anything else. That's not something you can just do every day, saying, Lord, your word says. You don't have faith for that because there's no promise in the word for changing water into wine. If you ever need to do that, I doubt if you will, then you're going to have the gift of special faith. Okay? But that's what that gift of special faith is for. All right? All right, the last question here. The gift of healing can be exercised by those possessing the gift whenever he sees the need. True or false? False. Remember, these are all manifestations of who? The Holy Spirit. You don't just call these things up anytime you want. The Holy Spirit moves on an individual to do these things. All right?